Welcome back to the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate, covering up the Greenville-Spartanburg area. We're glad to have you, and we are very happy to welcome to the phone lines now the athletics director for Furman University, Mr. Jason Donnelly, joins us here on the Rob Brown Show. Jason, I know that it is not the best of times, unfortunately, and wish that our first interview was under better circumstances. I know it's a bit tough, but we are glad to have you. Thank you for taking a few minutes to come chat with us on ESPN Upstate.
No, thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. And you've got a great show. I'm honored to be a part of it. And I agree with you. I wish I was calling under better circumstances certainly know the duress this has been for our Furman community throughout this week, not just our athletics community, but our whole university as a whole. But I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you a little bit about it and happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Absolutely. Wanted to talk to the upstate area a little bit about what happened. And obviously I want to start with just kind of the broad question, which is, I know Furman's facing difficult times, as are most institutions of higher learning around the country. Can you give us a little bit of insight, a little bit of background, just in general sense of how this decision how was it arrived at?
Yeah, certainly can. I mean, if you look at this whole thing, it's a larger context of the coronavirus and where we stand as a country. As we're going through this pandemic, it's just been a game changer for all kinds of different things, whether it's, work, jobs, unemployment. But the effect it's had on higher education has been significant. If you're looking at Furman in particular, we're a small liberal arts school. We have, roughly 2,500 students, and it's a high tuition based economy. So the decisions we're making as an institution when we're thinking about it are based around having tuition come in from our students that choose to pay to be a part of this great education, but you got to have the students and you got to have the school. So, going back for me, when I arrived at Furman in August, there was financial strength as an institution overall, but as an athletic department, we have some challenges. We have financial challenges and equity and things you work through that every other athletic department has, but we're relying on subsidy when it comes to tuition. We've been looking at this all year and trying to figure out what a plan would look like as we went through. And we looked at all of this as a new athletic director coming in as a five-year plan, what you would do over time, how you'd make reductions in certain areas and how you'd make additions in other areas and how you invest moving forward. But all these things were supposed to take place over a five-year period of time where you can communicate things and make plans. As we got into the spring, everything was on course and we were having a great year. A lot of success on the field, a lot of success in the classroom as well. So things were going really well until we got to March. And then obviously the cancellation of sports as a result of the virus has been a significant blow, not just for us, but for every college athlete, for every college program across the country. When this first happened for us, we thought we'd have the ability to sustain, and we're certainly planning to move forward with 20 teams and all of our athletes. And we had invited our fifth-year student-athletes that wanted to return to come back. We had budgetary resources to do that and also ethics to believe it was important for those spring sport athletes that weren't able to complete their season the opportunity to come back. It really wasn't until probably about 6 weeks ago that we began to realize that financially we were in a major deficit for next year. We were able to balance our budget for this year with reductions of sports and with changes in our fiscal planning for this year, but the deficit that we're going to run for next year's academic year as an institution is huge. It's in the tens of millions of dollars relative to what we had to do. And that's a best case scenario. We've also done scenarios for worst case scenarios, which are tough. But as a part of this process, the directive that we had from leadership was to make up the $5 million in cuts for the future, not overnight, but to have some planning. And unfortunately, as a part of this process, that's where we've got to, where we've had to reduce two sports and reduce scholarships just to stay financially stable moving forward.
And let's talk about that. I want to come back to the baseball program in a moment, but from an overall sense of the entire athletics department, we're seeing programs around the country have to make similar, very difficult decisions. Furman wasn't the first university to eliminate their baseball program. Bowling Green had done so earlier in the week, and there's talk that a handful of other schools, ECU, I think, is in the mix, may have to make the same call in the next few weeks. But from an overall athletic standpoint, I don't think people understand, and to some degree myself included. I mean, obviously we all love our college athletics, but most people don't really get deep into the finances. How much of a strain, I know you mentioned tens of millions of dollars, on some of the bigger schools that have football programs that are, you know, the Clemsons and South Carolinas of the world that are bringing in 70,000 people. For a smaller school like Furman and a private school, especially at that, just how big of a crisis in the future, how many years down the road, I guess I should say, is Furman going to be dealing with the effects of this pandemic?
Yeah, that's a really good question and a really good synopsis on what we're going through. The one thing that this has been, I mean, we have to remember, this is a global financial and health crisis. It's, you know, it's larger than anything we've ever seen. And what I've tried to explain to everyone as we've been around it is that the hardest part about this crisis is that it doesn't have an end date in sight. And obviously our nations live with, you know, through some great challenges in the past, whether it's the Great Depression or if it's 9/11 or Hurricane Katrina or, you know, the recession in 2008. And as difficult as each of those challenges were and what it presented, there was some finality to it. You know, we're still living through this and we're still trying to figure out what the effects are from a larger standpoint. One of the benefits that we've had to not running around like crazy and going to games and events and doing all the things we normally do, there's been a high level of communication amongst athletic directors across the country. And I've got a call this afternoon with national athletic directors at all different levels that we've been working together weekly to work through this, the same as the Southern Conference. We're meeting sometimes three times a week to try to figure out what each of us is doing and how we can help this process. There are some different economics at work, as you mentioned. If you're at Clemson, if you're at USC, if you're at Alabama, if you're at Ohio State, your model's different than Furman. You know, at a school that sponsors a Power Five football program, you know, your entire budget is based around that football team being successful and driving revenue for your institution. And that revenue comes through the form of major TV contracts. It comes through the form of ticket sales and revenue and marketing and all those things that make that happen. And they're at the top of the pie for that reason. And that's why the summer conversation has been about what's going to happen to football, because without football, those departments are in really, really tough shape. And I've been an optimist. I think it's going to come back and we're going to play at some point this upcoming year. And I think for those schools, they need to play to continue to operate as best they can. For a school like Furman, we're one of the smallest Division I institutions in the country. And we've been sponsoring the most amount of teams, the most amount of student athletes, the most amount of scholarships in our conference, and we're the third smallest in our conference alone. And our challenges are different. The challenge for us is that we're receiving a subsidy from the university to operate our athletic department. There was a report out, WYYF, earlier in the week that said that we were making profit on baseball, and it's not accurate because they're counting the institutional dollars as revenue when in actuality it's an expense. It's reversed. But for gender equity reporting purposes, you take those dollars that are reported as in athletic scholarships, you report them as revenue in a gender equity report because it's an investment, not the actual expenses. Certain sports that we have, we lose, you know, close to $1 million a year on operations to do it. But the reason that we do it is to provide student athlete experiences, to have a competitive environment, to have a campus that can compete in Division I, which is what we want to do. The challenges that institutions such as us have, you're just dealing with such big numbers to work through. And the reality is if you're not playing sports, you just can't compete. So the entire nation right now is trying to figure this out. I, and in addition to other athletic directors, are more optimistic than not that we're going to get back to competing in the fall. We're going to do our thing. But the reason I'm optimistic about it is that we're in Greenville and we're in the upstate. And for the most part, our state has been healthy. My friends in the Northeast and friends in California are not going through that. They're in a really difficult place and are just now beginning to come online just a little bit relative to the fall semester.
Jason Donnelly, Furman Athletic Director, in the wake of eliminating both baseball and men's lacrosse. So in your mind, does this look like a permanent elimination or a temporary furlough? Hopefully you're around to maybe one day make that decision to reverse it, but is there any consideration for that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We did not take this decision lightly. I mean, this hurts. This is painful. We didn't want to have to do this, but the deficit that we were facing was one that we had to just get through. You know, in terms of working through this process, we had to say, okay, how do you reduce your budget by $5 million, you know, and continue to operate and do the things that you needed to do? So the way we looked at it was what would be temporary relief in terms of furloughs and staffing and cutting off the credit cards, and then what would also be relief long-term as you look at your plan for down the road. For us, the hard part about this, some of these cuts are going to need to be permanent. We just can't afford to keep doing what we've been doing. It sounds like a cool thing when you go through it, but the reality of it is we just don't have enough money to operate as 20 sports. So even though we're going through this and it's hard for our alumni, it's hard for our players, it's hard for our coaches, we're looking at a more sustainable model moving forward where we say, instead of having 20 sports, we're going to have 18 sports. And instead of having 435 student-athletes, we're going to have 335 student-athletes. And it's really intended to right-size our model. Now, the hard part about this, particularly with baseball is a treasured sport in South Carolina. It's a treasured sport at Furman. And we've had great history and tradition. It's our second oldest sport. It's just an emotional thing. It's a hard thing to go through. If you would have asked me in the beginning of March if baseball would ever be, discontinued at Furman, the answer would be no. It wasn't even on our radar. It wasn't even something we ever thought about. But as we got down to it, we had to make adjustments in our operating expenses in order to be able to move forward with the teams that we offer as we go forward. One of the questions our students asked me the other day, we had a student-athlete call with all of our athletes after we had announced all the decisions and gone through things, just so they can understand what we were thinking. They said, is this, is more of this coming? And the answer is no. We're not planning on having more of this coming. We just have had to decide on a model that works for us moving forward. Now, that being said, as I said to them, if we don't get back to school in the fall, if we don't get back to competing in the fall, if we don't get back to being healthy, this could be an even more complicated, decision for everyone involved. And that's not just limited to Furman. That's every college athletics program across the country.
And that was going to be my next question is, I know that obviously y'all are in a situation very similar to a lot of other schools. If, and hopefully this isn't the case, but if this lasts into the fall or if there is a second wave and we have to do a second cancellation of sports, now that we know that we are in dire enough straits that Furman, which has a deep history in baseball. I mean, this isn't like it's just a recently added program, so you're kind of going back a couple of years. This is a program with 100-plus years of history that you guys had to sacrifice to get through this. If there are no fall sports, or worse, if there is a second wave that invites another round of cancellations, where will that leave the decision-making process?
Yeah, I think two things, and I think you kind of have to answer a question you were asking earlier. As an athletic director nationally, the last thing you want to do is cut a sport. It just, as we're going through this conversation, from my perspective, there's nothing I want more as an AD than more teams, more athletes, more scholarships, more competitiveness. That's what you're here for. That's what you want to do. It's the last thing that you want to do as you go through this process. As all of us look ahead to the future, it's going to be, what is the impact of all of this on all of us financially, and how do we survive it? So, I'll give you an example with football, and I'm going to use Clemson or South Carolina. They're going to find a way to play. They're going to figure out how to do this. They're going to figure out whether it's appropriate in the fall. They're going to figure out if it's appropriate in the spring. I think a lot of these challenges that we have, it's going to be, what does the new model look like for now? It doesn't mean that this model is going to be this way forever, but it means it's going to be that way for the time being relative to what we're trying to do. If that means there's no fans in the stands, they're going to play. They're going to play on TV. They're going to figure that out. If they have to modify the stadiums and have 50% capacity to allow for social distancing, they're going to figure those things out. I think the reality for us as a smaller school is that we're going to run into a situation where if we don't come back to school this fall, we got to determine if we're going to compete this year. So I don't think that the decision is going to be based around whether or not you continue the sports. It's going to be based more around, what are you going to do in the next year? Are you going to, if you don't, I'll give you an example. The Big East just said, if the schools don't come back, this is a conference thing in the fall. Now, they don't have major market football, so it doesn't affect them that way, but they're just not going to play fall sports. That's the reality that we're all dealing with, is that if we're not back on campus for school, then there won't be sports in that season.
And that was going to be my next question. I know that you look at some of the bigger institutions, and it's very easy to say, well, if you can't pile the fans into Clemson, you can still play on TV. is playing without fans and maybe turning to an alternative broadcasting source, whether it's streaming online or some other program, is playing without fans an option for Furman if students are on campus, but it's decided that fans at games is not going to be allowed?
Yeah, good question. And I just got off a leadership call this morning. I should address this exact topic, which you just asked. For us, it's not what we're looking at. You know, we're going to do everything possible. We've used the terminology laser focus. We're laser focused on August 1, getting our teams to come back in the fall, getting our football and soccer and volleyball and cross-country teams back, to get back to normal, to do everything we can from a safety precaution standpoint to get up and operating again. So we're committed to that. So what we've got to do is we've got to think through all the things that will be detriments to that, say, okay, how do we get back to that? The second part of that is getting all the students back on campus and getting everyone back here to study and have the academics. And then the third thing is how do we have games and how do we adjust the games so they can be done the right way, socially responsible, healthy, and all those things. And I think one of the good things is, given this time, is this is the difference between when the pandemic hit us in the middle of, you know, at March Madness, in the middle of our spring seasons. We've got time to plan this. So I'm confident we're going to have a plan. I'm confident we're going to be back. And I'm confident we're going to do all the big things. Now, that being said, we are small, so we don't have the same issues that these big colleges have. You know, we're a school of 2,500 students. You know, we're drawing really good attendance, but we're not maxed out on our capacity. The challenge is going to be for schools like Clemson and South Carolina to say, how do we pack everyone into a huge stadium that's bringing 100,000 people to campus on a weekend, and how do you work through those type of things? One of the things that I think says a lot is the TV attendance for The Last Dance. You know, if you look at how many people are watching that documentary every Sunday for the last 5 weeks, you look at pro golf is going to start playing without fans. I think that no matter what, there's going to be sports. It's going to be played somehow, but it may just be an adjusted model. And if that means that teams need to compete safely, but they're going to compete on TV without fans, that might have to happen. But I do think sports are going to return one way or the other. Just going to have to figure out what the model looks like to get through it. I'm an optimist. I think we're going to get back to normal sooner than later. And I've been leading that way and pushing things that way. And we're confident that it will, because all of us just want to get back to enjoying what we love, which is supporting these teams, supporting the student athletes, supporting our coaches, and enjoying being together as a nation with sports is a big part of what we do.
Speaking with Jason Donnelly, Athletics Director for Furman University, another question for you. This one comes from Trey, who is one of our Twitter followers at our ESPN Upstate Twitter handle. Trey asks, WIFF is reporting that FU baseball was making money over the past 10 years. Is that misleading, and could you provide more context to those numbers? So I guess I'll kind of add to that by saying, when we talk about the budget of individual sports versus the budget of the entire athletics department, a lot of people have asked, why baseball? Why could you not scrap a handful of smaller sports? Why did you go with one of the legacy programs at Furman?
You know, great question. And we looked at every possible option. And the reality for us at Furman is that, I used to say this with my previous job, you know, I was working on a Big East conference school, and we had a great basketball team that won national championships. And what we would say to our department, to our university, and to our alumni is we had one sport that was generating revenue for 23 other sports. The challenge at Furman is we have all of our sports. None of them drive revenue over the expense line. So you're not looking at any sport that's driving more revenue than others. Now, a sport like football is bringing in tremendous revenue, but it's got expenses. A sport like basketball is bringing in tremendous revenue, but it has expenses. The reality for us at a school like Furman, the deficit that we operate on from a net institutional support ratio is that you're receiving tuition from the institution to operate your Division I program to be able to compete. When we looked at this whole thing, we looked at every possible option of what was possible, what was not possible. You know, some of the options that were not off the table is that in gender equity, you've got to be mindful from a federal law standpoint, that you've got to meet certain criteria that's defined by Title IX gender equity decisions related to the underrepresented sex. So in this case, our women's programs weren't able to touch them. There's nothing you can do. You got to support them because it's a part of the law in terms of what that is. And we've got great women's programs, so we're happy about that and supporting that. But you've got to be mindful of the law in terms of how that works out. That left us with our men's programs to determine what we needed to do. And the reality for us as an institution is that the need was to reduce by 5 million annually. And 5 million annually is a large number. You know, we weren't looking at a million a year. We weren't looking at 2 million a year. We were looking at $5 billion a year that we had to reduce. So the reality for us is we had to look at team sports, and we had to determine which sports from a financial perspective would allow us to do this. Baseball, incredibly painful. No one here wants to do this. Our head coach, Brett Harker, is the epitome of excellence in culture in terms of how he leads as a father, as a husband, as a man. We couldn't be prouder of him, and his team is the same way. You're talking about phenomenal young men that are competing and doing everything they needed to do. But the reality for us is we had to choose a program to make that decision with and to say which program would we discontinue moving forward and not have. The reality for baseball here is that it was operating at a revenue of $200,000 a year, but it was operating at a net loss of $1 million a year. And the $1 million a year accounts for scholarships, accounts for staffing and all the operations that went into it. And that's the hardest part about it. When you go through these things, you know, everyone will say, well, finances is not an issue and these things are not an issue. As you go through, we can pay for them through fundraising. In order to fundraise something and not have that become an institutional expense, to operate a baseball team without expense to the university, it's a $23 million endowment that's going to spin off enough money to support that sport. So this was hard, guys. Like, this isn't what no one wants to do this. No one wanted to go through this process. But the options at the end of the day, we had to look at our sports profile and say, what is the appropriate sport to reduce? Knowing we had to reduce two sports to get to where we needed to do from a financial perspective. If you start picking apart the smaller sports, if you start looking at golf, you start looking at tennis, you start looking at track and field, the finances just aren't that large. The net loss is just not that big because it's not that many students and it's not that many games and all the things that go into it. So we didn't want to do this. This was very difficult to do. We understand it's very painful, but this was a decision that was made with the long-term best interest university to try to have a Division I athletic program and continue to survive as we move forward.
One last question for you, Jason Donnelly, Furman Athletics Director. Before we let you go, just want to open up the mic for you to talk to the people of the upstate. What message would you like to send to the Furman fans and alumni in the area, to the folks who have supported the baseball and lacrosse programs, just Furman Athletics fans in general in the area? Just kind of give you the opportunity to speak directly to them.
Yeah, I just want everybody to know that this was very difficult and was very thought out, that we went through this process without a whole lot of options financially, but we tried to make the best decision that we could. We had great respect for the history and tradition of Furman Athletics, and we're going to move forward. We're going to, you know, the hard part for us, as difficult and as emotional as for the fans that support our baseball program, is that we had to make a hard decision. And moving forward, we're going to do the best we can, and we actually think we can thrive with the 18 sports that we have. We're going to emphasize revenue production. We're going to emphasize philanthropy. We got a plan, you know, so as difficult as it is today, and you know, I'm still in the emotions of going through it today. You know, as we pivot forward and we move on to the summer, we get back to the fall, we get back to games. You know, we want to cut the nets down with basketball. We want to get to the NCAA tournament. You know, we want to be national champions in football. We want to be excellent in golf and tennis and cross country. We want to have nationally ranked soccer teams. So, you know, as much as this is difficult and as hard as the emotions are that we're going through now, we will turn forward from this. We will thrive, and we won't forget the legacy of baseball and lacrosse. We'll honor those that were a part of it. We'll support those traditions as we move forward. But we had to make some really difficult decisions as an institution, and the decisions are meant to allow us to survive and thrive in the future relative to what we are. And that's just the hardest part about it. But it's a hard time. You know, we're going through it again. We're trying to be out in front of everything we possibly can and respond to every need. And our immediate focus is on our student athletes that are affected and their families and their parents and our coaches. But we're very sad for our alumni. We get it. It's hard, but we're going to push forward, and we're hoping to push forward together.
We are speaking with Jason Donnelly, Athletics Director at Furman. Jason, I know it's kind of a tough time right now, and you guys are still having to deal with some very, very tough decisions, but we do appreciate you taking a few minutes to come on and talk to the people of the upstate, and hopefully the next time that you and I speak, it will be after it has been announced that sports are on and we can be a little bit more upbeat with that conversation. But
yeah.
Since my time arriving in Greenville a couple of months ago, I have heard nothing but good things about Furman Athletics. I've worked with a couple of the folks in your staff there, and am very much looking forward to continuing that relationship. So thanks for taking the time. And again, hopefully next time we speak, it'll be under much, much more beneficial circumstances.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. I definitely look forward to that.
You got it. Thank you very much. That's Jason Donnelly, the athletics director at Furman University, joining us here on the program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.